The other day, I opened Microsoft Excel and found this, a little Copilot button that hovers over any cell that I highlight, and I immediately hated it. Not only does it cover up whatever is underneath it, it also kind of fades in and out depending on where I move the cursor, and as you can see here in this slow motion shot, there's also a clear lag between me clicking on something and the Copilot button actually moving. The delay is even different between each click, just to make things extra annoying. So this button is wildly distracting, and it's also of course completely redundant. Because there already is a giant Copilot button in the ribbon if you wanted to invoke the AI assistant in general, and if you wanted to do something specific to a cell, it's also already in the context menu when you right-click on a cell. Then of course the Copilot app was pinned to the taskbar by default too, and since I have a Copilot Plus PC, I also have a feature called Click to Do, which opens Copilot to analyze what is on my screen and to perform actions on it. Plus, if all of that was somehow not enough, I also got a physical Copilot button on my keyboard. So this new floating button that just appeared in Excel for me was the sixth and perhaps the most distracting way that Microsoft has found to push Copilot into my workflow. But I bet it won't be the last one. Now, as a tech YouTuber, I don't want to become the old man yelling at the cloud whenever a new technology appears, so I was ready to move on, but then, that same day I opened Notion in my browser and I saw this, 4 different floating AI buttons on my screen at the same time, including both above and below my cursor, making it very hard for me to actually see what I was doing, and ridiculously easy to accidentally trigger one. Now, 3 of these I've known for a while because they're from Notion itself, and I find them only mildly annoying. But then this 4th button was actually new and somehow even more disruptive, as it's literally 1 pixel away from where I'm pointing my cursor at, and it took me a while to realize that it was actually Firefox, my web browser, that placed it here. If I add the usual Copilot things on top of that too, then now Notion, Firefox, and Windows have collectively added, 7 ways of invoking 3 different AI assistants onto my workflow. I think you don't even have to be a grand AI hater to think that something is fundamentally wrong here, and in fact it reminds me very much of 2 things from my childhood. First, there's Clippy, of course. Much of this is obviously way too prominent, and Notion even has an animated face that I bet is custom designed to distract me just like Clippy was. But then second, I'm also reminded of browser bars. Do you remember those? For those of you who are perhaps too young or too old to remember these, companies used to sneakily extol extensions that supposedly added extra functionality to your web browser, but in reality just acted as promotional vehicles for their services, even though you didn't really ask for them. And the way that now every month or so a new AI button appears in my workflow feels exactly like that, especially since Microsoft and Notion both charge money for their services, while Mozilla presumably wants to make money through eventually having a revenue sharing agreement with their AI provider, just like they have with Google. Most of these buttons are added to my workflow not because I asked for them, but because the company wants to sell me a product, and now I have to find a way to turn most of them off if I don't want them. Now, Firefox at least makes theirs pretty easy right here, but with Notion, for example, I would have to contact their support team and ask them to turn it off manually, which is absolutely bonkers, while Microsoft at least partially lets you turn Copilot off, but then they also have a very long history of just turning features back on later at a random time. I find all of this pretty infuriating, and by the looks of it, I'm not alone. Now, I have plenty more infuriating examples that I want to show you, but before that, I want to make clear that I'm not inherently an AI hater. For example, multiple times now, I recorded audio with the wrong microphone, like in this case, my smartphone. And then Adobe's voice AI magically fixed that audio and made it completely usable for a YouTube video. That's great. Or I also love the AI features of my video editing software, DaVinci Resolve, which allows me to make, for example, magic mask cutouts that I literally would not be able to do in any other way. I also recently messed up my finger pretty badly, and so for this very video, I used Samsung's voice recorder app to do my usual ideation in, instead of typing things out, and the app did transcriptions and summaries, and it even found a pretty funny title for one of my recordings. Ubiquitous AI integration, a digital plague? That's good. Some of AI is very good, and I even pay for some of these solutions. But all of these were A, actually useful features, and B, also things that I told the machine to do, not things that the machine injected into my workflow. Being interrupted with useless recommendations is the thing that I want to complain about in this video, and it's something that seems to be really annoying many of you as well. I posted on my social media channels to see if all of you had similarly annoying experiences as well, and yeah, you gave loads of really horrible examples. The most consistent complaints that I got by far were for Microsoft Office, and I can definitely see why. I opened Word for the first time in a while on my laptop, and the default experience was immediately insane. Without even doing anything, the app launches on a distracting animation that pushes the page down and adds 4 different text boxes on top. On my laptop, these boxes, together with the ribbon and all the other taskbars, typically leave me with something like 30, maybe 40% of the screen being used for my actual document at most. Oh, and of course, these are also on top of a giant Copilot button in the ribbon. And once I start writing, there's also a Copilot button hovering on the side, just for good measure. It is also, of course, in the context menu. And when I delete that, Word also helpfully points out that I can press Alt plus I to draft with Copilot. I mean, what the hell? But if you thought that is bad, somehow Outlook is even worse. Opening the app on my phone immediately greeted me with a full screen Copilot pop-up, and I got the same on my desktop too, because Outlook for some reason really needed to tell me that Copilot can generate themes for my email client to add zing to my mailbox. Full screen pop-ups are about the most disruptive things an app can do to a user, and they decided that Copilot generated themes would be worth that? How? Anyway, once I'm past that pop-up, I open the first email in my inbox and I get a Copilot button that lets me reply to or summarize the email. And the first email I opened was an automatic email from OneDrive telling me about a file that was shared with me, and I really don't know what you'd reply to that or what there's to be summarized, but hey, Microsoft also put a whole bar on top which says Summary by Copilot. Let's see what this does. Well, after a solid 19 seconds of waiting, which I've sped up, the summary says, Maya shared a document titled Document with you via a link that works for everyone. It's all so dumb. Like, why does Microsoft feel the need to summarize an email that it itself sent, which it should know doesn't need a summary? Like, at least of your own things. Why are there two buttons for summarizing this thing? It's all so bad. Now, people have complained about the Gemini doing weird things in Google Workspace as well. I don't actually pay for Gemini myself, but Tristan does. And he found a solid 9 Gemini buttons on screen on his Google Drive, which he then clicked on just to consistently be told the Gemini is still learning and can't help him with that. Okay. It's a good thing Google put, I repeat, 9 buttons on the page for that. I mean, I guess this is probably just some short-term bug you'll get ironed out in a day or two, but this is so indicative of how all of these rollouts seem to me to a user. The first priority is just to disrupt me by putting all of the buttons everywhere, and then actually making any of this work and become useful, well, that's like priority number 40. And actually, AI wanting to summarize everything, even things that don't make sense to summarize, is one of the core frustrations that I've heard from many of my viewers. My viewer Kate says that she uses an app called ProQuest Dissertations and Thesis Global, and that program wants to summarize everything, including the titles of documents. So from the title, Evaluating Knowledge and Attitudes Towards Dengue Fever and Its Vaccination Among Medical Staff in China, a questionnaire-based study, the program decided to summarize that and say, this document provides valuable insights into the current state of knowledge and attitudes towards dengue fever and vaccination among medical staff in China. That is obviously just rewording things and taking out random details, and who the hell thought that summarizing titles made sense in the first place? Better yet, Kate says that this feature can't be turned off until a software update is released. Now, perhaps an even more outrageous complaint I got was from Xiaomi users who claimed that when you highlight text on a Xiaomi phone now, an AI button has taken the place of the copy button, which was instead moved to be under the three-dot menu. I'm not a Xiaomi user myself, so I fired up a Xiaomi phone to do some quick testing, and indeed, this does seem to be the case at least sometimes. Depending on the context and which app you're in, sometimes the highlights have the copy buttons, and sometimes they do not. In fact, a lot of the useful options get put in the overflow menu, but the AI option never does. And I think this actually highlights part of the problem with all of these AI features. Every time you prominently place a new AI feature into a UI, it has to come at the expense of something that was already there and was presumably useful already, like, for example, the copy button in this case. Anyway, and the last example that I wanted to highlight from all of my viewer comments are all the AI buttons from Meta. No matter if in WhatsApp, Instagram, or on Facebook, I got tons of comments about these being really annoying and just really in the way. Fun fact, I randomly opened my WhatsApp to try it out, and I apparently have a chat history with Meta AI about Sinya Uno lottery results today from April earlier this year. I have zero idea what this is. I have no memory of having ever asked Meta about what appeared to be lottery results from Colombia, and from what I can tell, this perfectly sums up Meta AI. Just a box you can't disable that you apparently click on by accident. Plenty of people have pointed out in their comments that this kind of clippy 2.0 user experience is one of the things that is actually pushing more people towards Linux and LibreOffice and whatever. And while I think change is slow, it definitely might be a breaking point for some. Still, I have two leading theories for why all these tech companies seem to be so hell-bent on shitifying their products right now, even if it might cost them some users. First, I don't work in a tech company anymore, but I've heard the exact same thing from all of my friends who still do. A bunch of the shareholders in their companies heard about AI being a big deal. They panicked that they might be missing out on something, so they told their company's board that they must go big on it. The board told the management told the product people, and congratulations, it's now everyone's primary job in the organization to build AI features. Now, normally the product people would first identify either a user need or a business goal and then decide on the appropriate technology to meet that need, but here everything is working the other way around. A technology was selected first, and then the product people are tasked to find user problems that they could potentially solve with it. Now, this of course is basically insane, but there's so much pressure from above and from outside and everywhere that a lot of my friends at work now get essentially measured at work by how much AI they can cram into everything, whether it makes sense or not. And second, many companies seem to think that there is a genuine AI race right now, and they have to compete and be fast before your habits and workflows get formed, and this is more important, being fast that is, than being perfect. See, in my example of Notion, if I wanted to use AI for whatever reason, where in the software stack would that AI live? On the application level, like with Notion, where it can be very specific to my task and also know the context of all my other Notion documents? Or perhaps in my browser like Firefox, where it would be a bit more generic, but maybe it would have context from the rest of the web and from other things that I do in the browser too? Or maybe it should live on the operating system level, like on Windows, so it can support all the apps that I use on my computer. I'll most likely not need AI on all three levels simultaneously, but I might also not be stuck in my ways yet. And so the companies are right now racing to establish themselves as the default, which they hope the users will actually stick with long term. If there really is such a race, then all of these pop-ups and buttons, they're not accidents, they're signs of a war. These companies are trying to elbow each other out of the way so they can be the one that actually survives. Now, in this video, I specifically only focused on how AI breaks the user experience, not also other things. But of course, AI could also break things like copyright, trust in news, work, society in general, etc. Those are topics that long-term are probably going to be even bigger issues, and today's sponsor, 80,000 Hours, has actually been researching and writing about these kinds of issues for nearly a decade, and they have tons of in-depth material on their site that you can read, like what an AI-caused existential catastrophe could actually look like. And if just reading about this isn't enough for you, then they've also found fields that you could actually work on to contribute to make sure that things go well, like AI safety technical research or AI governance and policy. These are both areas that 80,000 Hours has identified as being particularly impactful. They are a nonprofit that says the 80,000 hours the average person will spend working is probably their most meaningful resource for making the world a better place, and so choosing to work on important problems at work is extremely meaningful. They could help you find career paths that would do good, and they found that the ones that I've already mentioned to be particularly impactful. 80,000 hours covers many areas beyond AI too, of course, from pandemic preparedness to nuclear war, animal welfare, climate change, and more, and they make all of their advice and research available on their site for free. They even have a podcast where they have conversations with experts in these fields across nearly 150 episodes. If that sounds interesting, you can get a copy of 80,000 Hours' career guide, which distills their most important research into one volume for free at 80,000hours.org/techaltar. That link is also down in the description. That's a great place to start, and if you're wondering, everything that they offer is for free because they're a nonprofit. So check them out at 80,000hours.org/techaltar to get started, and I'll see you next Friday.